Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. We've got a bunch of breaking news, and I have to start with the disappointing fact that the Brewers just dropped the first game in today's doubleheader to the Cubs' final score. 6-4, they had a few shots at besting the Cubs this afternoon, but could not produce on those runners in scoring position. I'll be watching the game tonight. Hope you will be as well. Remember, Civic Media's got you covered. A bunch of our stations across the state are now Brewers affiliates and carry those games when the Brewers are playing. So check out your local Civic Media affiliate and see if they've got you covered for the Brewers action this evening. We've got a great show lineup for you today. At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin ACLU, Dr. Melinda Brennan. We'll be discussing how sheriff's departments across the state seem to be reaping some financial benefits for complying with the Trump administration's ICE detainer requests, some of which may be unconstitutional. We'll dig in with Dr. Brennan at 5. And at 5:30, we've got Dr. Lowell Barrington of Marquette. He's going to update us on the continuing talks regarding the 3.5 years-long Russia-Ukraine war. A bit of breaking news to start us off this afternoon. The White House says Putin has promised to meet with Zelensky in the coming weeks. Again, we'll discuss more at 5:30 with Professor Barrington. Weaponization czar Ed Martin, yeah, the guy that got bumped from an appointment, they put him in charge of this little newfangled division within the Department of Justice. Yes, the weaponization czar Ed Martin has called on New York Attorney General and can I speak English this afternoon? New York Attorney General Letitia James to resign. This is apparently the second time in almost as many days that he does so on completely bogus grounds. We may discuss that a little bit later this afternoon. And have you ever heard of this guy? His name's Nick Adams. He's Donald Trump's appointment to become the ambassador to Malaysia. Yeah, I hadn't heard of him either. But now I have. And who in the frickety frack is this guy? Well, he's now a U.S. citizen. He emigrated here from Australia a few years back, and he has a, quote, masculinity hobbyist. I don't even know what that is, but whatever it is, it spooks me out a little bit. I don't know about you. He talks about Hooters and eating steaks and stuff like that. He even has a post on his X account where he takes you on this tour of this huge McMansion that he lives in alone. It's all a bit icky. Well, this appointment has catalyzed nearly 2 months of protests by Malaysians outside the U.S. Embassy in Malaysia. Can you imagine that? Like, you're so ticked off about the U.S. appointee to become the ambassador that you're already he's not even the ambassador yet. They're already protesting. Most Malaysians consider this to be an offensive appointment. Here's his most recent ex post. Yes, I am an alpha male. Yes, I eat rare steaks. Yes, I visit Hooters frequently. Yes, I love America. Yes, I support President Trump unconditionally. Oh, that's nice. Yes, I was nominated to be U.S. ambassador to Malaysia. No, I will not be apologizing for any of it. You mean being a cringe-inducing, knuckle-dragging Neanderthal? You don't want it? That's apparently suitable for all sorts of foreign relations in a very delicate region of the world where you have Chinese aggression popping. Merits be damned. Yeah, that guy's going to be the ambassador of Malaysia. Eat gads. And this afternoon, more entrants into the 2026 Wisconsin election fray. Late yesterday afternoon, it seems like Representative Francesca Hong may be inclined to run for governor. And in Green Bay, Wisconsin, two Northeast Democrats have thrown their hats in the ring to run against 8th Congressional District U.S. Representative Tony Weed, the guy with the good hair but empty head, in 2026. This particular announcement today was made by the former Green Bay School Board member Rick Croson. He announced in a couple of Facebook posts that he will be challenging Weed in 2026. Earlier this month, Mark Scheffler of Appleton filed his campaign documents to run in the 8th District. His official announcement will happen after Labor Day, but Mr. Scheffler plans to run as a progressive Democrat. That's a little bit of the breaking news, so let me introduce my fabulous guest for this hour. We're going to get into all sorts of things. Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. This is what happens when I'm not reading off of my notes, Angela. Welcome back to the show. It's so nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me. There's a lot of news to cover.
A lot of news today. Some of it, I don't know if the proto-masculinity guy, I don't know if that's really
weird.
News, but I thought
it
was really cringy and needed a note, you know. But Angela, you and I are going to talk today about updates related to FEMA aid that may be coming to southeastern Wisconsin. County Executive Crowley putting out a press release today. We want to update folks on that process, where it stands. We're also going to get into Donald Trump's announcement that he's going to stop mail-in voting and stop the use of voting machines, because, you know, when I'm doing really complex calculations in the tens of millions or hundreds of thousands, I like to, you know, do that all in my head or by hand with a pencil, because calculators are untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about all of that. And last but not least, we're going to get into the connection between the Boston mayor's response to the federal government, which she sent today. I have a copy of that letter. In response to the federal government's directive that Boston is to comply with ICE detainer requests, that has some resonance with both Milwaukee's long history, going back to Joshua Glover, as well as Milwaukee's recent history, which I was a witness to as Corp Counsel of Milwaukee County. It is all of a whole, and we're going to get there this afternoon. Angela, just your general reactions to the disaster that we've had here, and the process of recovery and estimation of damages, and how we really do approach flood risk in the good ways and the ways that we may need to do some work on. This is, of course, quite timely today, because in a moment of rare bipartisanship, every single one of the members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation, so it's 8 congresspeople, 6 Republicans and 2 Dems, even though we're mostly a Democratic state, and our 2 senators, Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin, all together signed a letter to the acting administration of FEMA asking that they expedite their damage assessment and actually declare an emergency here in southeastern Wisconsin. Your reaction just writ large, Angela, to what's been happening here?
Yeah, you know, one, as a lifelong Milwaukeean, right, we do not see this type of flooding. I remember, I think it was like 2010 or 2011, there was like a big massive flood. I was on campus at UWM in the summertime. It was awful. And that was nothing compared to this. And my heart goes out to all the state fair workers. I once upon a time worked at the popcorn wagon. That's how I made my living through college. And I remember you worked all 11 days despite the weather. And we've had to evacuate at points because there was a thunderstorm. And again, all of those experiences were nothing compared to what we saw recently. I think we've seen the social media videos, the harrowing rescues and people trying to get their dogs, all sorts of things. And, you know, when I immediately saw that FEMA, the request was made to FEMA, I'm like, let's see how this goes. Right. I'm not going to lie. I didn't feel confident that we were even going to get anything under this current administration. This administration does not take just humanity and prioritizing people's basic needs and natural disasters seriously. And the first couple days, there was one Republican, I think, that had signed on to the letter. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, that was Representative Fitzgerald. He actually sent the first letter, which I called out as being very good politics and reflective of the very real need of southeastern Wisconsinites of all political persuasions and no political persuasion at all.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't just a Milwaukee thing. I think that's also part of it is, you know, if it's just a city of Milwaukee thing, oh, let those black and brown people fend for themselves. That's always the case. But that wasn't the case for this. Wauwatosa, you know, got slammed drastically, you know, West Allis and some of these other places. And so I am encouraged that there is a rare moment of bipartisanship, but it shouldn't take a natural disaster like this for it to happen.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. It is, again, a very very big bright spot in all of this that we have able this was the one thing that can bring all of our congressional reps together. Here is why, Angela, I think people were deeply concerned about the federal government's response to this disaster in southeastern Wisconsin, because in Donald Trump's first administration, with the California wildfires that happened during his administration, which told billions and billions in damages, according to Olivia Troy, who is a national security advisor hired into the Trump administration, as well as other intelligence officials that were responsible for briefing Donald Trump in the Oval Office. And Ms. Troy eventually went on to work in the office of the vice president. So she then worked for Vice President Pence. She has gone on the record very clearly articulating that she and another advisor had to put in front of Donald Trump the maps of where the fires were in California and overlay them with voter maps for those counties, because Yikes. Donald Trump was going to decline to send any emergency assistance at all to California because it was a blue state and mm-hmm. those people don't support me. So they had to show him that in many of the places that were getting very, very tragic amounts of damages were in fact his people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the track record here. I think this is an interesting moment, right? Because is there some kind of very tacit acknowledgement by Senator Johnson, by Representatives Style and Fitzgerald, Van Orten, Weed, Tiffany, and Grothman, that kind of raw, are you my supporter or did you vote for the other person, calculus goes into whether or not Donald Trump will permit executive branch agencies to actually do their job for all American citizens and residents, not just those who voted for Trump. And by the way, just so that you understand the math, there were nearly double the number of eligible citizen voters that either stayed home or voted for Donald Trump, then voted for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So you can shove your mandate where the sun don't shine, because that's not what a mandate is, folks. We're going to continue this fine discussion. On the other side, we're going to get into Donald Trump's attacks on mail-in voting, his history of the Trump taco flip-flop on mail-in voting, and where all this stands now, and what it means right here in Wisconsin. Keep it locked. I've got Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities out of Milwaukee, and me here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.